Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from Luke chapter 9, from our gospel reading that we read, where Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. And it ends with another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And today we hear of Jesus going and following, and us following. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was going to redeem the world on the cross. He goes to his death and to his glory and to his Father. And nothing will stand between him and his destination. As he says elsewhere, on the third day, I will reach my goal. Jesus has set his face to go to Jerusalem, but he's not going for himself. He leads a train of captives behind, and he calls people to follow where he leads, to the cross, but more than that, beyond, to life, because he leads to salvation. But not all follow, and we see that clearly in his text today. He comes to a Samaritan village, and they not only don't follow, they won't even receive him. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to the feast. A bigger feast than they anticipate, but going to the feast nonetheless. And as he passes by the Samaritans, he passes by their places of worship. He passes by the mountains where they worship. He passes by their temples. He doesn't stop. He doesn't acknowledge them, but he continues on, and they feel rejected. They see this as a rejection of it, and it kind of is. And as they feel rejected, they reject him. And they won't even let him stay in the village. But hey, tell him to pass by. And we might say, well, that sounds a lot like our world today. Christ, or at least his followers, are called intolerant because they proclaim there's only one way to heaven. And that is through the Son. And so the world doesn't only not follow. The world refuses to receive Christ and his followers. But Christ's face is set on Jerusalem. And he goes there to redeem the world and bids follow. On the face of this rejection, James and John are indignant. They want to defend Christ. They want to call down fire on the village. They want them to be consumed, and they're confident. We might even say that they might call it faith, a strong faith, as that they can call down fire. They are ready to defend Christ and his honor. They're ready to defend Christ and his honor. As if God wouldn't send 12 legions of angels if he asked. As if God was not the one who was going to honor him. They're indignant, and in their indignation, they are distracted from what Christ is doing. They're so busy being ready to fight that they forget why Christ is going. But his face is set towards Jerusalem. His face isn't set towards destruction, but to salvation. And so he rebukes James and John. And they go on to another village that will receive him. How often we too are indignant in the face of rejection, in the face of harsh words. How often we're indignant with those who reject us. How often we want to defend ourselves. As we say that we follow Christ, and Christ, but just as much ourselves for following him. How often we're willing to tear down or attack others that we're more upset with how they live. That's what Christ has said in his kingdom. How willing we are to stop talking or caring about others and their salvation. Because we know that we're right. Because they won't apologize and they won't acknowledge that. How much time, how much energy, how much anger we spend arguing and fuming when we could move on. We could move on to find a place where we can proclaim the kingdom. How often we're not concerned with winning them to seeing the word with winning. How much we're more concerned with winning than we are with seeing the word proclaimed. And when that happens, the word is not proclaimed. But Christ's face is set to Jerusalem. It is set on salvation. And he bids us follow. Another man comes up. A man comes up and says that he will follow Jesus wherever he goes. And Jesus' reply shocks us. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He doesn't say, good, come follow. But no, he warns. And perhaps we could say from John things that he said. My kingdom is not of this world, or even things that Isaiah said. Who can count for his descendants? Christ warns what following means. Following won't result in big houses, and it's not going to result in big bank accounts in this world. And he wants followers who follow him, not big houses and big bank accounts, who aren't distracted by the things of the world. Because Christ's face is set toward Jerusalem. And it is set on salvation. He bids us follow. Christ says to another, follow me. But the man said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, more words that we think of as harsh. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And we see how hard following Christ actually is. And we often recoil, because after all, we want to bury our dead. One reason to skip church might be you've got a funeral to go to somewhere else. And honestly, we think that funerals are one of the best reasons for having a church. For many, it's the only time that they enter one. So we make up some stories to make this seem a little bit less than what Christ said. That maybe the man's father wasn't yet dead. That he was just making excuses. Because surely Christ didn't mean that you shouldn't go and bury the dead. But if you're willing to try to tone that down, I'll let you try. But I will say, I'll ask you a question. That if you are one who says, I'm not going to miss a funeral, if you care for those who died, did you also care for them to live? Did you share the kingdom with them? Was that just as important as making sure you went to their funeral to honor them after their death? And what do you do last? Attend a funeral? Or proclaim the kingdom of God? Christ clearly tells us exactly how important the kingdom is. It is a matter of life and death. It has to be preached. And anyone, even the spiritually dead, can bury the dead, the physically dead. But only his followers can proclaim the kingdom of God. Only his followers can proclaim the message that brings life and salvation, and Christ's face is set on Jerusalem. It is set on salvation, and he bids us follow. Yet another says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home. But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And it seems like such a small request that the man made. To go and say goodbye to those in his home. And God even tells us, honor your father and your mother. And yet still here with this man and perhaps even in our own lives, we see one who sets what is good against the kingdom. One who's not ready to follow. Who makes a small request, but it's a small request that shows the orientation of his life. And don't we do the same? We hear that if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. And that's scripture. It's true. We hear, honor your father and your mother. And how many of us then start and do put our family first? And with our money, we save for a house for them to live in. We save money for college. We save money for retirement so that we won't be a burden to our children. And maybe we give the leftovers, if there's something left beyond that, to help with the kingdom, to support the kingdom. And with our time and our energy, we make it to every sporting event and play and activity because that's important. But we don't have time to go ahead and share the good news with our neighbor. Or at least maybe not the time or the energy. Or maybe it's an inclination. Christ's words are hard. But they're hard because there is life only in one place. And it's not even in the good of family and family obligations and the blessings of this world. It's in Christ alone. And Christ's face is set on Jerusalem. It is set on salvation. And he bids us follow. Christ did not let anything stand between him and his Father and the salvation that he was winning for us. He went through suffering and betrayal. He went through death, and his Father raised him up to life that we too would have life in him. And he didn't stop and spend his time arguing with other people, but proclaimed that salvation. And he didn't even listen to his disciples who told him not to die, his friends who said that it wasn't worth it. But his face was set on Jerusalem, and he went there for you and for me. And we are the ones, he said, come follow. We are the ones who are following. But following isn't just our words. It's with our lives. And if he let nothing stand between him and the Father and the kingdom, we who follow should do the same. So use the time God has given before the end. Use the money and the gifts that He's given before the end. Have your face set also towards the cross where Christ died for you, and follow Him. Proclaim the kingdom with what you say and with what you do, and do it intentionally. Not with what's left, but with your whole life. Don't let family or business or sports or pride or grades or anything stand between you and your Lord and the salvation that He gives to you and to the world. The Lord's face is set towards Jerusalem. It is set towards salvation. Follow. Amen.